Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday underway. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. After the Gus Bradley radio show on Thursday night, Jaguars and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming up Sunday at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. 1 o'clock kickoff in Week 5. Battle of 1-3 teams trying to turn their seasons around. A win for the Jags might give them a little momentum. Coming back home against Houston. Tampa Bay working with the rookie quarterback, of course. What's up, guys? How we doing there? What's up, Tony?
I'm great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Great.
Jeffrey?
I can't complain one bit.
Well, we wouldn't listen to you if you did.
No, you wouldn't care one way or the other. By the way, thanks for calling the Gus Bradley Show.
I missed all that.
Who's
my long-lost brother?
Can we play? you didn't. What are you, taking drugs? You don't realize you called?
No.
Did you hear it?
I was on a walk.
I was actually watching tape, so I didn't hear it.
We had a guy by the name of Bubba Shadwick call the Gus Bradley Show. Go ahead. Let's play it.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Great job, Joe. Heck of a job, Joe. Good lead-in.
Great radio. The Jags could use the work of Chad and Julius Thomas. I swear to God, I ain't going out there and sweating. Give me some food. Yeah, I don't want no damn hot dog. Go turkey hunting. Wow. How about that? Now, you want the backstory to that?
Oh,
earlier I'm in here recording.
We told. I mean, we told.
Okay, you told the story.
Yeah, but go ahead. Tell Tony.
I have not heard the story.
I was in here earlier recording a report for tomorrow morning on the Jaguars Radio Network, which I do every day, every weekday, on this Jaguars Radio Network station as well, usually in the morning drive. So I'm sitting here recording, and I look to the left, and I flubbed a line or something.
Wait a minute. Let's get the confirmation here. Joe, approximately how many lines did JP flub before he went to that?
Many lines.
Thank you.
A few. And so Loggeman starts chirping. So I start reading it like Loggeman. And it all got recorded. There you go. That happens. It was a pretty good impression.
You got to be careful when the microphone is on.
I'm actually good with it because that was pretty good.
That was pretty
impression.
Good. I liked
you.
It. I liked
turkey
it.
Hunt. Anyway, let's get to football. The Jags and the Bucks coming up. Bus this week around the building here has been improving in the red zone. Only 4 touchdowns and 11 trips down there, guys. And the execution is the word that's come up about that, not the scheme or anything like that.
Need more trips down there, too. 11's not enough.
Yeah,
more
but you know what? It doesn't necessarily take the red zone either, though. I mean, you know, you can score from outside the red zone, too. That's allowable.
That is allowed?
Yes.
Oh.
That is allowable.
We see the score more points. Red zone, green zone, blue zone, red, you know, whatever color zone you want to call it. Offense, defense, special teams, need more points. You know, and not to rehash, and we talked about it Monday night, but your defense gives up 13 points in regulation, you got to win that ball game. You got to win it.
Yeah, I mean, execution, though, that's on the players, right?
Well, I mean, it's on coaches, too. I mean, that's look, it's not okay, then it's not one group here or one group there. It's a whole. I mean, it's everybody has to do better. You know, and, you know, the old rule of thumb is that when you're not where you're at, you take a look in the mirror. You know, so as a coach, you look in the mirror. As a player, you look in the mirror. But the coach has the ability to look in the mirror and then look elsewhere. You know what I mean? You know, so.
Some players do that as well.
And which they shouldn't. But it does happen. But it does happen. But, I mean, they.
Played with a few of those.
You know, I'm not willing to give the defense I'm not saying you gave them a pass, Tony, but I'm saying I'm not willing to say that they weren't perfect. Because they weren't. If we went into this game and we had this conversation about how bad the offensive line was for the Indianapolis Colts, now with a quarterback who hasn't played much football, if we had to put a number on sacks that we thought could have been generated in a game like this, what would you have said before the game?
You got to get 4 to 5.
Yeah, 4 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so is
– bigger problem than that, Jeff, and we haven't talked since we watched the tape. I've been all over the place this week. I counted up how many times when we rushed 4, guys won one-on-one matchups.
Not much.
I think I got 2.
Wins.
2 wins of one-on-one.
Individual wins.
Yeah.
That's it.
And both times.
The whole game.
Whole game. Two. Where a guy on a pass rush, bring in four, beat his guy up front.
Which is
– And they, we still didn't get pressure on those two because the back was there to, you know, help.
And that's the foundation of this defense is four-man pressure.
That's right.
You know, so that has to get better. The one thing
– I blitz every play.
That I want to see more of, and I want to see more of Ryan Davis. You know, 16 snaps against New England, 17 snaps against Indianapolis, and what, 2.5 sacks in 33 snaps. Right?
Yeah,
16 plus 17, math major, Tony, right?
Yeah.
33. Okay, 2.5 and 33 snaps. I think it's time to give him more.
Yeah, double the snaps, double the output. Right?
And I don't care if it's
– Is he good enough against the run as a Leo, though? He's not
absolutely.
See, I've always thought that was maybe his weak
spot. And see, I you know what? I'm not believing that.
He's a heck of a football player.
Is he strong enough to play Leo? Well, he's playing a down three
but in third,
a nickel rusher.
In third down, though.
But it's still it requires strength and it requires power.
Can he drop his rear end and stop the run? That's the question.
Yes.
He's a bigger guy than he looks, too. What is it, 260
or something? That's different. Stopping the run's not always about how big you are.
And the reason I say this, Tony.
But I want to make sure everyone understands that. You can be 245 and a great run player. If you have great leverage.
Look at Robert Mathis.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, what did you weigh when you played?
60.
60.
65.
I mean, and I played against guys 290 that didn't play the run as well because they didn't know how to use their body and leverage. And so I mean, Michael McCrary was 245 and could hold the point just fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my question. Can he drop his hips and stop the run and hold the point?
Well, let me put it to you this way. Can Andre Branch?
I don't think that's his strength either.
Okay. So
like Clem's good at that, though.
Clem does a good job of that.
He uses his leverage well.
My point is that if Andre Branch is getting snaps at Leo.
That's a great point.
Which he is.
I agree with that.
Okay. And he's just coming back from a knee, and you could tell that he wasn't right. And I didn't expect him to be right. We talked about before
still
the game.
A little rust, though, right? What do you mean by not right?
Well, what I'm saying is that, and I said this before the game, people were kind of excited that Andre Branch was getting back. And I'm happy that he's back, but it's going to take time to work back. He doesn't wear a cape. When you come back from an MCL injury, when it's a left knee and you're playing right defensive end, it's very difficult to rush the passer because you can't plant that left foot with a bent knee in the ground under power. It just feels like your knee feels like a limp noodle. It doesn't feel good. Trust me, I did it in 96. And I had to go to John Pease, our defensive line coach, and say, look, I can't go on the right side. You know? Put Tony Brackens in over there. Put Schmange over there. Let me just rush from the left side because I can't plant my left leg in the turf on the right side without feeling like it's just going to collapse. And you could see when Andre Branch was on the left side, he played with a little more power. When he was on the right side, he looked like he was scared to put the foot in the ground because of the knee.
Yeah.
And my point is that if Andre Branch is getting snaps at Leo and Andre Davis is taking snaps as special teams. Let's flip-flop.
Ryan Davis.
Yeah. Let's flip-flop that. Okay, let's let Andre Branch do some special teams.
Yeah, but the problem with that is Ryan Davis is a good special teams player.
Absolutely. But let Andre Branch take some of that get Ryan Davis
in.
How about
Ryan defense. Just does the, Ryan Davis does both?
Do we know if Andre Branch is a good special teams player?
We don't.
If who?
If Andre Branch is, then guess
he hasn't,
what?
He hasn't showed it yet, but you know what? I mean, look, if that's what you're asked to do, then that's what you do.
That's right.
You know, so I want to see more of Ryan.
You know, the other guy that would like to see more in that third down package is Michael Bennett as a three technique.
He's been getting some.
Yeah.
He's pretty good now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, as a pass rusher on third down.
You know, he is showing signs when he's got the one-on-one opportunity
that's what I'm
where he's starting to shake.
Yeah, he has a little wiggle to him.
That's why we said going all the way back to training camp when we were trying to, okay, who's going to make it, who's not going to make it. And Ziggy Hood was in that conversation.
No wiggle.
We said, if it's between those two, then Michael Bennett's going to win because he gives you a little bit more pass rush and Ziggy's a little stiff. And Ziggy got hurt, ended up on IR, so the Jaguars were able to keep both of them. But if they had to make a decision there, Michael Bennett would have been on this team, I think.
I'll tell you what, it shows you how much we miss Derek Marks.
No doubt.
Rushing the passer.
Yeah.
Because he was a guy from the three technique who could win. And win one-on-one. and put some pressure on the defense. And we just – listen, watching that last game, and that's a bad offensive line. That Colts offensive line is not good. And we could not get home with four. And
you had three games to validate your point prior to the Jaguars game.
Yeah, and we couldn't get home with four. So either they took, you know, Superman pills and got a lot better, or we weren't rushing the passer well, and we haven't rushed with four well all year, really. Mm-hmm. And so you either figure out someone who, you know, change up the reps, get Ryan Davis in there more, you know, he not three technique during first and second down, Michael Bennett maybe. I don't know what it is, you know, Ryan Davis at the Leo maybe on first and second down. Whatever it is, you have to be able to get home with four if you're going to continue to play this style of defense. Now, Bob Babich blitzed more this past game than he typically likes to, or the scheme likes you to.
Because of the quarterback situation.
But I'm telling you right now, I think you're almost better off playing man and just going to work and trying to hit the quarterback. Because sitting back in cover three with no pressure, there's holes, and guys are going to come open. And so that's
but you couldn't do that against the Patriots. A lot of people were saying, oh, you got to blitz the Patriots.
Well, you're not – I take that game off the schedule.
Yes.
I don't make any judgments about what you should do or not do.
Men in Black memory eraser.
Yeah, it's just like that game doesn't exist.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that doesn't exist. But
watch that a couple
I'll tell you this
ago,
right now. I'd blitz this kid. We're playing this week.
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to look one place, and he's going to throw it there, and he's going to get uncomfortable, and he's going to throw it to the wrong guy. When I say the wrong guy, our guys.
Mm-hmm. That's the next question I had. Jameis so far, four picks last week, the fumble early in the game. He's a rookie quarterback, a big rookie quarterback with some tools, but he's still, in the end of the day, if you get pressure on him, he can get rattled easy. Right?
And if you let him set his feet, he'll zing it in there now too. Yeah. I mean, he'll throw some nice balls now.
All right, so we had this conversation.
But if you get him moving his feet, get him off point, it's trouble right now.
He has, for him. Sometimes he has overconfidence in his – in his arm, but let's go back.
He's not afraid to stick it in.
No, but his problem is that he can't stick it in there.
Sticks it to the wrong place.
Right, but let's go back to the spring, because we had this debate about Jameis Winston and would you draft him first overall? And I said no.
I remember that.
I'd take Mariota now.
And you, Tony was beating his fist on the table, saying, "Jameis Winston, you have to take him."
I still think Jameis will be a good quarterback in this league. I really do.
After looking at what you've seen out of Mariota and Jameis Winston,
Mariota.
There you go.
All day long.
Me too. I would. And I said it back then in the spring.
You're right. The first time in about 3 months, you've been right. You're right.
You recording this too, Joe? Okay, good.
Well, wait a minute. I was right on
even remember.
No.
It was so long ago.
Last week. What is it called again?
Oh,
Shine On.
Yeah. We'll see who was right this week coming up. That's coming up in the third segment.
All right.
So well, based on the – we only scored 13 points, it's probably not me.
We'll find out. Hey, we'll find out. Okay. You never know.
I just want to get that out there that it was only a week ago that I was right.
Only a week ago. But you're right again tonight already. Early in this program.
I like to be right.
We all like to be right.
Don't we all?
Oh, we know, Jeff. Don't worry. Plenty to get to on Jaguars Thursday. We'll come back and discuss this Jaguars offense. A.J. Cann's play at right guard. How did he do in his debut last week? Blake Bortles, how does he get the offense going a little more consistently down towards the goal line? The Jags are back at Everbank Field Sunday, October 18th. It's next week against the Houston Texans. Come see the Jags dominate J.J. Watt. Great seats available. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets. More Jaguars Thursday in a moment on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars Thursday continues from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jags Bucks coming up down in Tampa on Sunday afternoon, week 5 of the National Football League. Jags 1-3 after the loss last week in Indy, trying to get back on track, and then home against Houston after that. Guess what? Hey, guys, you win this week, then all of a sudden you're 2-3. And if my math is right, you win the week after that here at home against Houston, you're 3-3. How about that? You'll be right back in the thick of it. Let's just think about it that way.
How about we just worry about this game?
Yeah.
Okay, how about this game? Okay, we'll worry about this game. Tampa.
I mean, typical.
This Sunday.
Typical.
Week to week.
I'm reminded of that that old baseball movie where Kevin Costner's in the back and he's teaching the pitcher all the
do's
typical
and,
lines.
Do's and don'ts, yeah, and what to say and what not to say.
The movie is
it's called Bull Durham.
Yeah, Bull Durham. I couldn't remember the name of it. I knew you would, JP, being a former baseball guy. You're not a baseball guy anymore. You're a football guy.
You need to learn your cliches, meat.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, and in reality, that's what it is about for this football team. I mean,
one game at a time.
That's
and
it. This is a big game.
It's a big game.
This is a big game.
We've been talking about this all week on .com, on the website, Jaguars.com. Is it a must win? Is it a should win? Or are there such things for this team, this franchise right now?
Yes, yes, and yes. I don't know if it's a must win, should win, whatever. Because I hate when you start saying, we have to win this game. You have to win games when you're trying to make the playoffs. And I think everyone would agree right now, not that this team couldn't make a playoff run in this division, but that's not the schedule they're on right now with the, as far as the mindset coming into this year. Is it a big game? Absolutely. And not that I want to go through this exercise right now, but if we pulled out the schedule right now and you went through the remaining 12 games.
Yeah, but ignore that.
No, but my point is this. How many teams on that schedule would you say the Jaguars are better than and they should win this game?
Colts.
You want to go through it? We can go through it.
Last week was one.
You said
they should have won that game.
Last week should have won.
I believe this week, watching the tape, how the quarterback's playing, this is a game they should win.
Mm-hmm. You would like to see them win. And it's big because since you had the win against Miami, you took a beating up in Foxborough.
A game you shouldn't have won.
No. And then you go to Indianapolis and you lose one that you had and that, by all means, you should have won.
And we thought going in they should have won.
Yeah. And so if you come back, the reason this week is important, because you don't want to come back home and you're sitting there at 1-4 and you just lost.
Two games you should have won.
One game that you expectations were high, but you got hammered. And then two games in which you had teams that are, I would say, on par with you. You can't go 0-2 in
coin
those
flips.
Games.
Yeah, I agree.
Offensive line, A.J. Cann got the start at right guard. Brandon Linder's on the injured reserve for the year with the shoulder. He had surgery this week, though, successful surgery to repair that torn labrum in his shoulder. A.J. Cann's debut, though, at right guard. How did it go, Tony?
Physically, I thought he was fine. He's a powerful guy, strong hands. He's aggressive. He had some awareness issues where he just – I don't know the exact blocking schemes, but by watching it, I could figure out pretty quickly that he was wrong as far as mental assignments. You know, I didn't have to be in the huddle to understand who he was supposed to block. And that can happen with a young player. First start, I guarantee he was going a lot faster out there than at any time in his entire life playing football. Guys are flying around. They're moving. Backers, they're stepping up. They're coming into the A-gap. They're coming out. And he got confused a couple times of who he was supposed to block, and that led to some mistakes. But physically –
does flipping sides do that at all?
No. Not playing very much, and backers, you know, coming in and out and jumping around and changing the mic call, who they're going to and protection-wise, and bringing safeties, you know, from, you know, off the edge and who's picking up who. He just got confused. I mean, I don't think it's a right or left.
I thought
issue.
It was one play that he got confused, and that was when Kendall Langford was free and was on Blake Bortles immediately.
There was another one where, and I can't remember exactly, I believe I'm right, where you could tell he was hesitant, so he got on a half a man because he thought he had and he recovered.
Which we actually talked about that, him coming out of the preseason, that he just wasn't ready yet because of some of those things. At that point, you know, obviously that was – 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, you know, so you would like to think that has improved. He had one other play that I would probably put on Jeremy Parnell, in which there was a pressure on Blake Bortles, probably shared, but Parnell being the guy who has been in there more probably could have helped him out a little bit. They had some double teams where they weren't real clean on together. But
they got to work together more.
That comes with time, you know, and the question that I wonder is – and this is a good question for you, Tony. You played the position, played offensive line. Now that A.J. Cann, and provided that he plays the remainder of the season at right guard, stays healthy, gets tons of reps, you have a very powerful man at right guard this year, and that's his first game snaps. Next year, when Linder comes back, to maybe improve the left side and to help Luke Jokel out, do you consider putting Brandon Linder at left guard and leaving the squatty, powerful A.J. Can at right guard?
Yeah, I think you can. I mean,
would you? To help, I mean, because you know what part
Coach
of the
facility. Well, yeah, but after that means he'll start at 13 games, Jeff. Yeah. I think at that point, listen, you got a lot of reps, and I think the question I would have is I'd go talk to both guys. Are you more comfortable in a right-hand stance than a left-hand stance? Because, I mean, for me, in college, my first 2 years of college, we flipped first 3 years.
I think Linder did that at Miami,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we went left around. And right, strong really? And weak. Oh, so wow. I'd be left tackle half the time and right tackle half the time. So you had to learn how to cross-train and get in a right-hand stance, kick step, left-hand stance. So it was never an issue for me. And so I think it's – and I don't know what A.J. played in college.
If he
played
left guard, but I had a conversation with him today that people can watch on the Gus Bradley Show. And that this wasn't on camera, but you can see some of the conversation that we had with him. But off camera, Gus was asking him about, you know, left and right and what's the difference. And I thought he had a very interesting answer about the left to the right move. And he said that, you know, my stance was always very balanced anyway. So it hasn't been much of a transition because my stance was balanced.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a deal, especially at guard, because your stance is pretty balanced anyways as a guard. You don't have a big and what we're talking about is a balanced stance. So if you're in a left-handed stance, your left foot is back. And typically, as a tackle, you have a bigger stagger than you do at guard because you have to kick out and you're playing in more space. For a guard, most of those stances are pretty balanced anyways. I don't think it's that big a deal left or right. And so then it's a strategic standpoint of like, okay, do we want Linder and Parnell together or do we want Linder and Jokel together? At this point, I have no sense that, you know, it matters.
But that's something to think about as we watch and see how A.J. Can plays.
The problem is with
that, remainder of the season.
The only thing, reason I would probably put Linder at right tackle, most teams are right-handed, and Linder is still more powerful.
Yeah, at right guard.
Yeah, at right guard. He's still more powerful, and most of the time you slide left, so you're going to help your left guard more than your right guard. And so your right guard is going to be one-on-one more most of the time, and because you're a right-handed team, and most teams run right more. Linder's a better guard right now than A.J. Can.
Yeah, but so, it's an interesting, I mean, to see how A.J. progresses through the year, because that could be, you know, a question that you look at the end of the season. And the reason I say that, it would make Luke Jokel better having a player like Linder next to him. Right, Tony? I mean, if you put a good guard next to Luke Jokel, it makes him better.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I've never bought that much, for me at least. Like, I didn't get – all I cared about who was playing next to me is that I was comfortable in communication with them. And so as long as we were communicating, I wasn't looking – now, we ran a different scheme, so I was looking for zero help from that left guard. I mean, because we were a man-blocking team. I mean – Leon and I had the defensive ends.
Yeah, and that was it.
And that
so
was it.
One-on-one.
Right. You're one-on-one the whole game.
Yeah, right.
And you combo block inside. So we didn't slide like teams do now. So I didn't care who played that guard. Now, if you're a slide team and we slide a lot, having a really good left guard who can help you and is really good at timing it up and posting that three technique and looking outside and coming and helping you on inside move, absolutely. That's where it matters. So I probably I don't have as good a feel for it because we never did that. So it was never – it was a communication thing for me more than anything. I wanted to know I could communicate with that guy.
Pretty clear, though, those two guys are the guards of the future here, right?
Well, I don't want to leave Shatley out of the equation.
It's one game. Let's not anoint anyone after one game.
Saying. Yeah.
Higher draft
you know,
pick.
And
I don't care how high you get drafted. Listen.
Once you get in the door, it doesn't matter.
You seem offended, Tony.
I'm not offended by that. You're going to anoint a guy after one game. He played fine. It wasn't like he was, you know, go watch the left guard for – the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, he's not the same Logan Mankins, but he's still pretty dang.
He's still really good.
He's really good.
He's on the injury report, too, by the way.
That's how you play guard. I mean, you talk about a big, nasty, physical, tough guy who has strong hands. I mean, guy can play guard. Right, I'll anoint him before I'm going to anoint.
I guess we'll let him play a few games before we anoint him the next guard of the Jets.
You were putting him in the Honolulu.
We're giving him the jacket, the gold jacket. No. We'll come back in a moment and look over the injury report. A few Jaguars on there this week. It's been a banged-up football team. Who might be coming back this week? Remember the clear bag policy at Everbank Field when you come down for the Texans game next week. The Jags and Dailies have teamed up to provide an NFL-approved clear plastic tote bag available with a $5 donation benefiting the Tony Boselli Foundation. For more information, visit jaguars.com/allclear. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Jaguars Thursday continues.
A little energy there, JP. It's about time.
Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman.
You're lulling me to sleep before that.
Thanks.
No problem.
I'm just trying to keep you awake, Tony. That's it. Let's look at the injury report presented by Baptist Health System.
I really don't want to hear the mass.
Changing healthcare for good.
Before we get into that, Joe.
Well, let's
Joe, put your mic up, Joe. Were you a MASH fan?
He said no.
I remember
this is the worst radio.
I remember as a kid, though. My parents were big. We watched that every dang week, and I remember the last episode of MASH. My parents had a party.
It was 2 hours.
Oh, it was like torture.
You didn't like MASH?
We watched it all the time, but no, it was okay. Hawkeye and
Radar
and
those kid glasses.
Colonel Potter
and
Hot Lips.
Hot Lips Houlihan. That's right, Hot Lips.
Good show.
I mean, but the
Trapper.
You'd have thought like it was like a national holiday when they had that final show.
Klinger.
I loved Klinger.
That was great.
Let's get to the injury report.
I guess I liked the show more than I thought.
Yeah. Presented by
if you Baptist, remember the names, you
named all the names. Presented by Baptist.
But we watched it always. I mean,
changing healthcare.
It was like an event in my house.
For good.
Joe just felt like a MASH guy to me.
Safety Sergio Brown worked full after working limited Wednesday. Mercedes Lewis with a knee injury. Chris Clemens with a knee worked full. Each of those guys did not practice Wednesday. The following players were limited Thursday. Aaron Colvin with a shoulder injury. Marks, Cedric Marks, of course. Tight end Julius Thomas, limited with a hand injury. And wide receiver Alan Hearns with an ankle and a thigh injury that he played through last week and had a huge game.
He'll
tough,
play.
Tough yes, guy. Yes, tough dude. Wide receiver Mark, the handful of guys out. Marquise Lee, Paul Posluszny with the ankle injury. Latulele with a concussion. James Sample with a shoulder injury. Cornerback Devon House was ill today and did not practice. Running back Denard Robinson with a knee injury. None of those guys practiced today. A few guys for Tampa Bay as well. Major Wright has an abdomen injury, but he's been full all week. Gerald McCoy limited this week with a shoulder injury. Luke Stocker, the tight end, with a hip injury limited. Jonathan Banks, the Mississippi State cornerback from a few years ago, has not practiced this week with a knee injury. Logan Mankins worked out Wednesday, did not practice today with a groin injury, that guard we just talked about. Sperrion Jenkins has not practiced. Russell Shepard has been out with a hamstring injury, and Evan Smith, the center, as well. So what do you think about groin injury for Mankins? Do you think he's going to play, Tony?
Yeah. Logan Mankins, he played a whole playoff into the Super Bowl with a torn ACL.
Which is unbelievable.
He's a tough guy. Heck of a player.
Not like
he once was, but he's still a very good player.
I remember reading about that, and then he gets cast off, and I was just like, man, you just don't do that. To a guy that's done something like that, that's still playing at a high level, I was shocked.
I think he ticked them all off when he held out. He wanted more money. Yes. But listen, but they won a Super Bowl without him last year, so let's not kill. Yeah. I mean, so maybe they knew something. I'm not going to question too many of the things the Patriots do as an organization because they've been pretty successful.
Julius Thomas Jaguars tight end has been working out limited, has like a pad on the top of his hand,
he said.
That's
a good sign.
He's been working out in a red jersey, at least during media time. What do you think, guys?
I don't know.
I would, if I was betting, if I was gambling, I'd gamble that he's not going to play.
We're a non, this is, gambling's not allowed at Bushwood, sir.
Okay, then I would guess that he's not playing. But I, it's a complete guess. I have no idea.
Yeah, the conversation just seems to be kind of on the side that you don't expect to see him. You know, so I don't know. I mean, it's, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, a lot can happen. He's a veteran guy. But, you know, you're talking about a player that there's a lot of money invested in him. And you want to have that kind of an investment be safe and secure.
I want him to play.
For future production. You want him to play, but yeah. At the same time, I mean, you're talking about a hand surgery. You know, so, and a tight end.
I want him to play.
So we'll see. I hope he plays.
There's two sides of that.
I'm just being selfish. It's not my hand, so. There
you go. The other one, Cedric Marks, has been out, of course, all year. Limited still with a knee. You think it's too early. You're shaking your head, Jeff.
I said it at the beginning of the year that I'd be surprised to see him before week six, and we're going into week five. Look, he had a surgery in January, and it was what, mid to third week of January. So how many months is that now? Nine and a half, something like that?
Well, and defensive linemen aren't as tough as offensive linemen, so takes them longer.
Oh, that's it.
You know, yeah. And here's the thing.
That's what it is.
Everybody's reaction and rehab in an ACL is different.
Absolutely.
You know, so you can't sit there and say, okay, well, most guys have done it.
Plan for a year.
10 months.
If you plan for a year and anything less is gravy.
So, to me, I'm of the opinion that, look, when he's ready, and here's the thing. When he does come back, he's not going to be the same player that he was when he comes back. A la take a look at Geno Atkins in Cincinnati. Geno Atkins came back last year, played the entire year, and the conversation
was not Geno Atkins. I did a couple of his
that
games.
We need to see more out of Geno Atkins, and he wasn't the same player. Well, now
watch
2 years removed, and now I think he's leading the league defensive tackles and sacks.
He's lighting it up.
So that's what I expect.
Last Sunday on the Publix Tailgate Show, a segment we call Shine On, where each of you argue your side of the ball and why it would shine against the Colts. Let's take a listen.
The Colts have major problems up front. They just changed three of the five offensive linemen in last week's game, and they're still not playing well. The Jaguars' front should have a good day, and the Jaguars are getting healthier in the back end. It should be a good day for the Jags' defense.
Bing, bing. Listen, I think the Jaguars' offense is going to have success because I think this team rebounds after getting embarrassed last week, comes out with energy, and it's a defense that is just okay. They don't rush the passer great. They're going to give time for Blake, and I think he has a nice big day today.
Bing, bing.
I think I won that. There was no pressure on the quarterback unless they blitzed, and Blake had 300 yards and a touchdown.
298, yep.
Oh, it was under?
It's 298.
I thought he had 300. Yep. I thought it was 301. But anyways, it's a big day, and I think I'm right, and you were wrong.
Sure. You really believe that?
Yeah. You just said the defensive front's going to have a big day because the offensive line's terrible.
Well, the Colts rushed for like 1.2 yards a carry. Okay, that's a pretty good day.
How many?
They got two takeaways. So they got three sacks, okay, although we agreed that that wasn't enough.
Let me ask you a question.
And they held the Colts to 13 points.
They didn't get three sacks.
13 points, Tony. 13 points.
The scheme got a bunch of sacks.
Tony, if we were in the locker room, and okay, and we held an opponent to 13 points, and your unit scored 13 points, ignore the conversation before. Who wins?
I just have one question. Would you say that the defensive front got after a bad offensive line?
In pass rush, no.
Okay, thank you.
No.
I rest my case. Thank you. Victory.
But I said that they would have a good day. They had a good day.
Okay.
They didn't have a great day.
JP, you decide who won.
See, I'm torn on this because, yeah, almost a 300-yard passer, 100-yard receiver, 100-yard rusher. That's if they would have gotten to 300, the last time they had all three of those in one game was 2009, the Rams game here, which was an overtime game, but only 23-20. Gerard had a couple of picks that day.
I'm just saying.
That's the last time that kind of day happens.
Okay.
I kind of got to go offense, Jeff. I'll be honest with you.
13 points?
They move the ball.
Okay,
the next step is scoring.
Let's move on. Let's go on to the next segment.
You're a stats guy. You're based winning and losing on stats. Stats are for losers.
Oh, really? You want to say that again? Are you recording
stats
that one?
Stats are for losers.
Oh, well.
Well, you must be a stat then because you just lost.
Well, we'll come back in a moment and look around.
Well, wait, I got a question here before we go and look around the league.
What?
There's another guy in the room to be a judge. Joe Fortunato. Joe?
What, are you making rules now? What are you doing?
Are you hauling me off on a gurney or what?
Yeah.
So are you going to chime in there, Joe?
I guess go offense as well.
Victory.
Not offense. Just what you both presented. I think he was more right.
That's all that matters.
Okay.
Say that again. I was more right?
Yeah.
I'm playing your song here for you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Let me give my speech. I concede Tony won last week because I was so right the week before. It's good to have him be a little bit right this week.
You know what you should do more often? Is just mumble. Because that's how you got your last victory.
That was good, though.
You didn't believe that I was right. You had to go to the assistant judge.
Oh, he tried to trump you. Right. He tried to trump you.
I know. Well, you tried and failed.
I take great offense that you just completely discounted the executive producer of Jaguars Radio in here. And that you just cashed him. Manager.
Manager.
We discount him every day.
Every hour, actually.
Well, I'm here to tell you it's not going to happen
every hour on the hour. We'll come back in a moment. Look around the National Football League in Week 5. Kiss game day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride locations for Jags games. Tickets start at $7. For more information, visit jtafla.com. We'll look around the league when we return. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Check out Jack Hanania's Volkswagen of Orange Park, home of the best warranty in North Florida. 20 years, 200,000 miles. Jaguars Thursday rolls along. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Baselli. Let's look around the National Football League in Week 5, starting with tonight's game. Down in Houston, in the AFC South, the Colts, with Matt Hasselbeck at the controls, will face Houston Texans with Ryan Mallett at the controls. Who you got, guys? And why? Don't think too hard.
Ryan Mallett. Who are they playing?
I'm going with the Texans. It's tonight.
I didn't
apparently
know.
Not.
Yeah, sorry.
I can tell.
What are we talking about?
Colts Texans tonight, Thursday night football.
Matt Hasselbeck.
Hasselbeck. Ballot.
Take me out, Joe.
Hasselbeck's been sick.
He's sick. Oh, Luck's out. I'm going Houston. I think Houston wins.
Do you know who they're playing?
Colts.
Okay, good. Making sure. Jeffrey?
Texans. I said Texans.
Oh, you already said Texans.
Yeah, I think that J.J. Watt will be absolutely on fire.
Hmm.
I mean, on fire against that Colts offensive line. They're going to line J.J. Watt up on Hugh Thornton, and it's going to be a woodshed.
Really?
Yes.
An all-timer, huh? Almost.
That's what I would do.
And Joe Wrights, the right tackle for the Colts, put him on that, and it's going to be a woodshed. It is not going to be pretty for J.J. Watt. Wow. Frank Gore is going to have to be Captain Chipperoo tonight if J.J. Watt is not going to have a field day.
I don't know what that means.
A chip. A running back chip.
Help.
Defensive lineman. To help the offensive lineman.
Like a MASH character or something.
Captain Chipperoo, the MASH character.
Yeah, this show's devolved into this complete.
Next game.
Sunday,
awful.
The Bears are in Kansas City, a pair of 1-3 teams.
The worst show you've ever done, JP.
Thanks, Tony. You're lovely.
I'm taking Kansas City.
Who are they playing?
Yeah, great. Never mind. Next game. Seahawks are at the Bengals. Good game in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think it's a great game. The Seahawks have all kinds of issues, and it's because their offensive line is just awful. They can't block. Russell Wilson was sacked 6 times. This past week.
Yeah, but he gets sacked a lot on his own door.
No, no. I watched the game. If he wasn't mobile, it might have been a 10-sack game. I mean, it was a Katie bar the door. They can't run the ball. They're lucky they have a great defense. I see this being like a 17-14 game, and I think the Bengals win.
I think there's no way that the Bengals are held to 17 points.
Okay.
I don't. I think they're just playing too well on offense.
Yeah.
The deep ball for them has been strong. A.J. Green is a fantastic player. They got two really good backs. They got good tight ends. Andy Dalton is playing very well. But I think it's going to be fun to watch and see how Andy Dalton can match up against what many view to be one of the better defenses in the league. To me, that's a great matchup. That's one of those things, you know what, you're going to watch.
That Bengal offensive line is really good, too.
They're going to win that division, Bengals?
Yes. Only because Ben's hurt. Ben wasn't hurt, it would be
a toss-up.
Yeah, toss-up. With Ben hurt, yeah, Bengals are going to win.
Next question is, can they win a playoff game? That's a big question in Cincinnati.
I think they'll have a bye probably this year, so they'll get to the second round. At least.
I don't know. I'm not real confident of the Bengals in the playoffs just because when they get there, the pressure – on that game for them is very different. You know, like when we went to the playoffs in 96, everybody was like, Jaguars. You know, so you didn't have any expectation to go along with
it. I knew we'd go in.
Yeah. So we didn't have any expectation. The Bengals have not only the expectation to be there, but then the heightened expectation and the awareness on getting a win, which they have never done yet with Andy Dalton. That's a tough thing to deal with.
The Redskins are 2-2. Atlanta undefeated, 4-0, and playing great football right now.
Good for them, man. And you know, Matt Ryan playing well. Julio Jones is just a freak.
He's on another level right now.
They're running the ball well. They're playing good defense. You know, and I think they're going to get their rookie running back this week healthy, right? But I mean, it doesn't matter. They've got another running back running the ball well.
Yeah, you know, with the Redskins, I'm pretty sure have the second best defense in the NFL right now. They're playing really good football on that side of the ball, at least. You know, you got Kirk Cousins. So I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be close because that Redskins defense will get after them pretty good. But I don't think they have enough to keep up scoring-wise with Atlanta. I'm going to go Atlanta as well.
The question with the Redskins is, and it always is, until he proves otherwise, how many picks is Kirk Cousins going to throw? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he has been an absolute turnover machine. I think there's – Kirk Cousins and Jameis Winston, the two highest interception percentage throwers in the National Football League. You know, so
let's hope Jameis keeps it up.
You hope.
How many points the Falcons put on the Texans? It was like 48-0 or something.
It was 42. It was 42-0 at one point.
It was what, 28 or 35-0 at the half, something like that. It was something crazy.
Crazy. Saints got a win in overtime last week. They're going to Philly, a pair of 1-3 teams.
This is a playoff game.
For who?
For both. I mean, to stay in the playoffs.
If you go to 1-4, it's trouble.
Yeah, 1-4 in trouble. I mean,
that's fair because Carolina and Atlanta is on a roll.
They're both undefeated, so it's much more important for the Saints if they want to stay in it. You know, the NFC East isn't great. The Giants lead it at 2-2.
The Cowboys are banged up.
They're 2-2. They're banged up. The Redskins are 2-2. They have no quarterback. So, you know, if Philly can win it, I mean, if they lose, they're 1-4. It's probably not over for them because of the division they play in, but it's a big hole to dig out of. If they win it, they're right in it.
So who you got?
Where is the game?
It's in Philly.
I'm going to go Philadelphia. The Saints aren't very good, so I'm going to go Philly. Drew Brees' shoulder's not right. You can tell the way he's throwing the ball.
Yeah, but he's throwing it short. He's throwing it accurate, though.
Oh, he's always accurate. He's the most accurate guy out there.
I'm taking Drew Brees.
All right.
Because I don't know what that Eagles team is.
I hope Drew Brees wins because I got so tired of hearing everyone say that, you know, Chip Kelly's a genius the first 2 years. Because anyone who's been around this league long enough, you know there's no geniuses. There's good coaches.
Did you hear his comments?
But there's no geniuses.
Did you hear his comments?
No.
About, you know, personnel? You know, I think he said something to the effect of, you know, we made the right decisions in personnel.
Yeah, because he made them.
That's great.
That's a lot of humility.
There's some Eagles fans right now that are going
ready to choke it.
How do you feel what?
About, we got one right here. How do you feel about Chip Kelly there, boss? You're a Philly guy.
It's interesting. I don't know. You look at DeSean Jackson, you look at Shady McCoy, and you wonder,
Jeremy
why
Macklin?
Aren't they there? Yeah, Jeremy Macklin.
Todd. Well, it's not Todd Harriman. It's the other guard that ended up in Denver.
Evan Mathis.
Yeah, Bama guy.
No one cares, JP.
Oh, he's a Bama guy.
No one cares. Go to the next game.
So is Julio Jones.
Roll Tide.
Browns at the Ravens. 1-3 teams.
Two bad teams.
Well, how are the Ravens?
I'm taking the Ravens.
I am too. They're just not very good. I watched them.
Why?
No explosion offense. You know, they had a record-setting offense last year. The best offense in Ravens history last year with Gary Kubiak.
Well, they ran the ball well against Pittsburgh.
They got it better. Okay. They got it going better.
Eugene Moreau is back.
Okay. Steve Smith's out. Or he was out. I don't know if he's still out. He had a
he
back.
Supposedly had a back. Oh, and then it was reported it might have been broken ribs.
Oh, he got drilled in the back, speared by Timmons. You know,
that's right. Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, this has nothing to Eugene Moreau because Kuechly's in the same boat. Missing 3 weeks with a concussion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is so foreign to me. And I'm not saying it's – I mean, it's the protocol, I guess, now. But and because we never had anything like that. But, like, I get missing a game because of concussion. You get dinged, you don't feel right. But 3 weeks? Am I wrong? I mean
maybe it's a bad
it's,
one.
It's different, you know. But,
I mean, you had a bunch of concussions.
Yeah, I forgot how many.
Of course.
But I remember when I was in New York, we had Al Toon. And Al Toon had to retire.
Because of concussions.
Because, you know, he would be taken out of the game. And then, you know, the next week or 2 weeks later, he's right back out there. He obviously didn't have the necessary time. And they didn't have a protocol to follow. And it ended his career. And I'm sure it's changed his life. So I'm glad
I'm not questioning it. It's just so different.
I'm glad the awareness is there, and you know, it's you know what, it's actually encouraging to see that, you know, because it tells me that they are making decisions based on the medical evaluation instead of we need this guy, you know, and that's what it should be.
And what? I guess the symptoms just don't go away.
I guess. I mean, hey, it's when the doctor says it's time to roll, then you roll. Until then. Wear the sunglasses, stay in a dark room, and lift weights in the dark.
You're not allowed to lift weights even, I don't think. No physical activity, I don't think.
Well,
it's, I don't it's
know
different.
About all that.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's it. I mean, I know at the high school level, if a kid gets a concussion, it's a whole protocol what they got to go through. And, like, until you get to a certain level, there's, like, no physical activity.
The Rams get to go to Lambeau to face the Packers.
Yeah, that's not going to work well for them. The Rams are pretty good, though. Todd Gurley.
Good front now.
Yeah, how about Gurley had a great game.
Todd Gurley.
Great. Who would have thought?
End of the game.
That he had a great game?
Who would have thought that his first game back.
No, second game. First game, Pittsburgh only had 9 yards rushing.
Well, who would have thought that, I mean, coming back in a matter of a couple weeks, that he would have something like that?
He, in the fourth quarter, he had four runs over 20 yards.
Unreal.
One of them for 52.
Wow.
And here's a guy who tore his ACL. Middle of the season last year, right?
What's the numbers of the back in San Diego?
Melvin Gordon?
Yeah.
I don't know what his rushing numbers are.
I'm just curious because, you know, when that was kind of coming down to those two.
Yeah, Todd Gurley's better.
And, yeah, Gurley was better. He was more consistent. He didn't, you better know, wasn't out, feast or famine.
Better hands out of the backfield.
But, man, when
Melvin Gordon
got rolling, he was special.
Melvin Gordon, 56 carries, 228 yards, 4.1 average.
That's not bad.
It's not terrible.
Not bad.
The Bills are in Tennessee to face the Titans.
Yeah, listen, Mariota, I watched him on tape. It's impressive what he's doing, but he's going to experience something that he has not, and that's a Rex Ryan defense who's going to give you a bunch of different looks, a bunch of different, you know, not just up front where they have a good pass rush, but the different coverages, and they're going to disguise things, and they're going to blitz them. I think it's a challenge for a young quarterback.
Titans better run the ball.
Yeah.
Cardinals in Detroit against a winless Lions team.
Cardinals.
Yeah, I'll go Cardinals, too.
Patriots-Cowboys.
That's the easiest one of the day. That's the Patriots.
Broncos.
I thought you were hesitating. Maybe go Dallas.
After watching Tom Brady 2 weeks ago, are you kidding me?
I didn't even have to look at him. Broncos at the Raiders.
Tell you, Raiders are playing good.
They lost.
But they're playing good. And
but they
Denver
lost.
Has the best defense. The Broncos will win that.
Niners at Giants.
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 Steelers at Chargers Monday night.
Good one.
Steelers. I mean, Chargers. Michael Vick's not going to win that game.
Yeah, I agree. Chargers.
Jaguars in Tampa.
Jaguars.
Jeff Lagerman, Tony Vaselli, J.P. Shattuck for Joe Fortunato. We'll see you Sunday. Jaguars-Bucks coming up in Week 5.